How are y'all today?
Oh, there I am.
Yay. I didn't have to yell and scream. That's good. Welcome to 2021. Hallelujah and praise the Lord for 2021. I'm going to be completely honest. I talked to Nathan yesterday. It's probably about as real as I've ever been. God has worked the last few weeks on this. I'm laying it all out. I hope some of you are going to be as honest and open to that as I am. So, you know, we talked about 2020 enough, and it's so great to have a fresh start into 2021. And so I was thinking about that. What a great time right now for starting over. That's what God has continually laid on my heart over the last few weeks, is starting over. And we think of, you know, this year we're day three of 365, so you've got this whole year ahead of you that you can do wonderful things for God. So let's do it. Let's start right now. Now you may think, is there any hope for me? I'm a mess. I've been a mess for years. Can he use me? Can I start over? He can. I am one of those that he is using. He's taken my mess and he's turned it into a message. So with that being said, let's think about some people in the Bible that had to start over. There's several people in the Bible that had to start over. Ooh, now they boot me down a little bit. Good. Thank you. So let's talk about some people that had to start over in the Bible. Jonah, one of the examples. God called Jonah to go to Nineveh. What did he do? He ran the other way. Have any of y'all done that? I ran from my calling for several years. But what happened to Jonah? He got swallowed by the whale. God got his attention, didn't he? What did he end up doing? He went to Nineveh. Another person, if you've been around me at all, if you've heard me speak, I usually speak about Paul. Paul's one of my favorite people in the Bible because he was Saul, who persecuted the church. And what did God do? He met him on that road, blinded him, got his attention, turned him around. Look what Paul did. We are the church because of Paul. We are where we are because of him. So today, we're going to look at Peter. Peter's another one that had to start over. You know, Peter was part of the 12 disciples, but not only that, he was part of Jesus' inner circle. He was of the three. Jesus had Peter, James, and John that was his inner circle. So he had that intimate relationship with Jesus. But what did Peter do? He denied him three times. Randy's going to help me preach today. I'm good with that. He knows my point. Sorry, no, you're good. You're good, Randy. You're good. But he did. He denied him three times, and he was his inner. He was his inner person. He knew Jesus more intimate than a lot of people did, and he still denied him. So we're going to talk about him today. We're going to look at three things that we can learn from Peter about starting over. And I'm going to kind of be a little bit everywhere, but we're basically going to be in John 21. And just to give you a little background information, this is after Jesus has come and resurrected. He's actually appeared to three different times. He appeared to Mary Magdalene after he resurrected. He appeared to the disciples in the upper room. He then appeared again to the disciples with Thomas, because Thomas was doubting Thomas. And he had to put his hands in the wound to believe that it was Jesus. So this chapter 21 picks up after all that has happened, and I'm going to start reading. I'm going to read verses 1 through 7 to start off, and then we'll talk about it. Verse 1, later Jesus appeared again with the disciples beside the Sea of Galilee. This is how it happened. Several of the disciples were there, Simon Peter, Thomas, nicknamed the twin, Nathanael from Cana in Galilee, the sons of Zebedee, and the two other disciples. Simon Peter said, I'm going fishing. We'll come too, they all said. So they went out in the boat. They caught nothing all night. At dawn, Jesus was standing on the beach, but the disciples couldn't see who he was. He called out, "Fellows, have you caught any fish?" "No," they replied. Then he said, "Throw out your net on the right hand of the boat, and you'll get some." So they did, and they couldn't haul in the net because there was so many fish in it. Then the disciple Jesus loved said to Peter, "It's the Lord." When Peter heard that it was the Lord, he put on his tunic, for he had stripped for work, jumped into the water, and headed to shore. I love this story because the disciples were told to go back to Galilee by Jesus. They did exactly what they were told to do. But what did they do? They went back to what they were comfortable with. They were fishermen, so they went back to fishing what they were comfortable with. And I'm sure they probably were wondering what they were supposed to do next. I mean, they just spent years traveling with Jesus. They just spent years, you know, watching him perform miracles and just being with hundreds of people as they traveled from city to city. So I'm sure they were wondering, what are we supposed to do? And so here they are going back to their fishing, and Jesus appears to them. And, you know, we've talked about, Nathan talked about, I think it was back at Thanksgiving, he talked about going to people. Jesus went to them. He didn't go into a synagogue and a church and say, "Come see me." Jesus went to where they were, which is awesome. He went to what they were doing and went to where they were. So here they are doing what they're used to doing, what they're comfortable with doing, and they're not catching anything. And Jesus once again tells them what to do, and he provides for them once again. So we're going to continue reading on. We're going to go down to verse 9, and it says, when they got to the shore, because remember I said that Peter jumped out of the boat and went toward the shore. When they got to the shore, they found breakfast waiting for them, fish cooking over a charcoal fire, and some bread. So here it is, Jesus has cooked them breakfast. He's providing for them yet again. We're going to jump down to verses 15 through 17. After breakfast, Jesus asked Simon Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these?" "Yes, Lord," Peter replied, "you know I love you." "Then feed my lambs," Jesus told him. Jesus repeated the question, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" "Yes, Lord," Peter said, "you know I love you." "Then take care of my sheep," Jesus said. A third time he asked him, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" Peter was hurt that Jesus said the question a third time. He said, "Lord, you know everything. You know that I love you." So here he is, Jesus asked him three times, "Do you love me? Do you love me? Do you love me?" And for me, this is a representation of the three times that Peter denied him. As I looked through that and I was reading, I was like, he asked him that three times for Peter to realize, I denied my Lord three times. So what can we learn from this 15 through 17 about starting over? Starting over means that we have to face our failures. So by Jesus pointing that out to Peter, he had to face, I denied my Lord, three times. One of the hardest things that we can do is claim our failures. I've had to do it. It's not fun. Our typical response when we have to face our failures is to blame somebody else. It's to blame something else. Blame our family. You know, blame it when my mama did it, my daddy did it. You know, we want to throw that blame. Jesus wants us to face our failures. He wants us to own up to what we've done. You know, the church should be the place that we do that. The church should be the place when we walk in that door at 10:45 on Sunday morning, should be the place that we're the most real. But are we? We're not. We put on our mask, which we've had to put on our mask. But we put on this mask and we come in and we pretend. I've started listening to this podcast by Torrin Wells. He sings the song Famous Four that we sing here in Hills and Valleys. There's a bunch of songs that he sings, but I've started listening to his podcast. And one of the podcasts he said, and I love this, many people in church have become professional pretenders. Let that sink in. Professional pretenders. So when you walk in the door at 10:45, This should be the place that you're able to lay all your burdens down at the foot of the cross, face your failures with your fellow church family, and let it all go. But we've become professional pretenders. Scary that you can't be real here. We fake it. We make everybody around us think that we're okay, but we're not. He said something else in that podcast that I liked. He said a lot of good things, but I really like this. He said, the walls that we use to project our image are the same walls that imprison us in our pain. Let me repeat that. The walls that we use to project our perfect, everything is okay image is the same walls on the other side that imprison us in our pain. So, until you face your failures, until you break down those walls and stop pretending, you're not going to be able to start over. It's time for you to break those chains of guilt, resentment, unworthiness, and face up to what you have done in order for you to move on to what God's plan. Because as long as you're holding on to your failures and you think you're not worthy and that God can't use you, he's not going to. Because you have to allow him. He's not a forceful God. So you have to let go. You have to face your failures. Just because you failed in the past does not mean that your past defines you. That's a lesson that I've had to learn. Just because I failed in the past doesn't mean that defines you. Another one I love, he can take your mess and make it into a message. That is me. So you've got to face your failures and move on. And with God's help, you can do that. And with your church family's help, you can do that as well. So let's move on. Verse 19, I'm reading just the very last part of 19, very short, but it's so, so powerful. Then Jesus said to him, he's still talking to Peter, he said to him, follow me. Very simple, follow me. So point number two of what we could learn from Peter about starting over. Starting over means we change our lives. In order to follow Jesus, we got to change. You can't live in your failures and live in your sin and continue to follow God. You can't. You have to change your ways. You have to face what you've done, face your failures, your regret, give your whole life over to Christ, and change your ways. We must stop what we're doing. Stop the failures we continue to do over and over and over. Because we just do, because we're comfortable in our failures. So we've got to stop, and we've got to change our ways. Is it hard to change your ways? Absolutely. Probably the hardest thing you'll ever do is changing your ways. Will you lose family and friends because you make that change? Absolutely. I have a handful of people that knew me before that know me now. It just happens because you're changing your life for the better. And so in order to make a change, you're going to lose something. It's not going to be easy. It's going to be hard. I'm not here to sugarcoat it, people. I'm here to tell you the truth. It's not easy to change, but you have to. You have to change. Facing our failures is hard. But changing our ways is even harder, especially when we know that others around us are not willing to change. If you're moving forward with God, if you are, you know, you faced your failures and you're ready to move on and change your life, you have to let go because there's others around you who are not willing to change with you. Now, we can pray that they get convicted and hope that they want to change with you, but they're probably not going to at that point in time. So just be prepared for that. Sometimes starting over, dedicating yourself to God, can be a lonely road, but the eternal reward is worth it. So worth it. Our road has felt pretty lonely at times. And until you get connected with a good church family, until you surround yourself with the right people, like Jesus surrounded himself with his disciples, until you have that good inner circle, it's not going to work for you. You've got to have that support. And I love this. You are always remember who you are known by is more important than what you are known for. Do I need to repeat it? There's a lot of things in here that I had to repeat to myself to kind of get it to sink in. Remember, who you are known by is more important than what you are known for. If you're not known by God, if you're not His child, then all this other junk that you're doing is not worth it. Because in the end, you're not going to be with Him. You need to be known by Him. Those around you need to know whose you are. So just remember that. In order to start over, you must change your ways, your habits, and be known as a child of God. So let's continue on. We're going to talk a little bit more about Peter. I'm not going to go to any verses. I just want to jump over to the book of Acts. I'm just going to be flipping through a little bit. But Peter did just what he was told to do. Jesus told him to follow me, and he did. He left the fishing behind, and he went out into the world and did exactly what Jesus wanted to do. Acts chapter 2 talks about Peter. He starts preaching. In Acts chapter 3, he heals a man, a beggar. And so something we learned from Peter here, point number 3, starting over means you were all in. So Peter left his life behind. He went all in. He went to preaching. He went to healing. And then in chapter 4 of Acts, he was arrested while he's preaching. So being a Christian is not all roses. It's not all the good stuff. When you say, I'm following you, Lord, yes, life is good, but there's going to be some valleys as well. So this shows us that Peter was all in. He was preaching, he was healing, but he was also arrested, but he was doing God's work. So as long as you're doing what God has called you to do, that's all that matters. So many times people can face their failures, change their ways, but the very hardest part is staying fully committed and all in to God. Giving Him every aspect of your life, not part of your heart, all of your heart. All of it. He doesn't want, He loves you part-time, but He wants you full-time. Just being honest. So He must be your priority. So are you all in? Or are you only all in on Sundays from 10:45 to 12? If I came to your house Saturday night and knocked on your door, am I going to see the same person I see that walks in that door at 10:45? Sorry. It's what the Lord laid on my heart. And I was like, are you sure, Lord, you want me to say that? But yeah, He did. He did. If I come to your house on Saturday, you should be the same person I see on Sunday. Being a Christian is 24/7. Not when you feel like it, not for 2 hours on Sunday. It's 24/7. So he wants you all in. He wants you to start your life over, be dedicated to Him, and be all in. So just to recap, those three things that we learned from Peter. Starting over means we face our failures. Nobody's perfect. Anybody that walks in that door and say they are, we need to get them up here and pray over them. Because nobody's perfect. So starting over means facing your failures. Starting over means changing your ways. You cannot be 1 foot over here and 1 foot over here. You can't. There's no possible way. God wants you fully in. All in with Him. Starting over means being all in. So what's stopping you from starting over? What's stopping you from being all in? What's hindering you? Are you afraid? Are you afraid of what others might think of you? Because the church should not be the place you're afraid. We should be here together, being as real as we can be, mask off, everything out in the open. This should be the last place that we think we have to have those walls and protect ourselves as being perfect. Back in 2010, MTV had a show on called If You Really Knew Me. And I've watched little inserts of this. It was, Sarah says she watched it. So basically what they do is they go around to these high schools and they would film, and they would take a group of kids, they would break them off into these little groups, and they'd have them ask the question, if you really knew me, you would know dot, dot, dot. That's kind of an inside joke. Nathan always picks on me about the dot, dot, dot stuff, but hey, it's part of it. So, but if you really knew me, you would know dot, dot, dot. And they wanted these kids in these groups to fill in the blank. The purpose of the show was to get the kids to understand they're not alone, to get them to recognize bullying, and to get them to recognize that they all go through some of the same struggles. So it was really interesting to watch some of these episodes and what some of these kids will bring up. One of them said, if you really knew me, you would know for 2 years I was cutting myself. If you really knew me, you would know I was homeless for 6 months. If you really knew me, you would know that I'm teased every single day I walk in the school door. So they just, it just went on and on and on and on. And it was to see these kids just start bawling and crying and to comfort each other and for them to understand each other was awesome. Then at the end of the show, they would line them up in the gym, and there was like they had a line. They would line them all up. And they would ask the question, and if they had experienced it, they were to cross over the line and go to the other side and face each other. So they asked the question, if you really knew me, you'd know every day I come to school, I feel alone, afraid, and just don't know what to do. All of them crossed the line and went to the other side. So what's the difference here in church? I'm going to bring it back to us now. What is your, if you really knew me, you'd know, dot, dot, dot. I'm going to share a personal story. I've come a long way with sharing my personal story. Some of you have heard our stories before. But if you really knew me, you would know. 9 years ago, Randy and I lost everything. We lost our house. We lost a car. We had lost our jobs. We lost everything. Look where we are now. He had to put us on our knees. He had to get us over ourselves. He had to make us realize that we were nothing without him. He broke us. I would not be a pastor. We would not have gotten saved. We would not be living the life that we're living right now if that had not happened. I could go on and on and on. I have lots of if you really knew me stories. So what's yours? What's your if you really knew me, you'd know, dot, dot, dot. You know, I don't know what's going on in your life. I do not know what's happened in your past. I know a few of you. I know some of your stories, but I don't know them all. Because you know what? We're one of those churches. We've not been really real, just being honest. But that's what we're here for. I feel like we're a family, and I feel like that we want to be that. We want to be like the early church. We want to be there for each other through the good, the bad, the ugly. So what's stopping you from starting over? What failure can't you face? What habit can't you let go of? What's stopping you from being all in? You know, the Bible has many verses in here of his promises for us. Jeremiah 29:11 is one that I always go to. It's one of my favorites, and I'm sure you know it. But it's, for I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. They are plans for good and not for disaster, to give you a future and a hope. You know, he promises us right here. He does not promise us disaster. He wants to give us a future and a hope. Isaiah 43:18-19, I stumbled upon this, and I really, really like what Isaiah says here. It says, verse 18, but forget all that. It is nothing compared to what I'm going to do, for I'm about to do something new. See, I've already begun. Do you not see it? I will make pathway through the wilderness. I will create rivers in the dry wasteland. He promises us right here. He's already started his plan for our life. He has promised us, I will make pathways through the wilderness and I will create rivers in the dry wasteland. So if you think you're all dried up and he can't use you, wrong. He can. He wants to. He wants to take what you think is nothing and put rivers through it. What a visual of that. You know, he wants to. Will you allow him to do that? Let today, the beginning of 2021, let today be the day that you face your failures. Let today be the day that you change your ways. Let today be the day that you go all in for God. It's time for you to realize that what you did in the past is in the past. It's time for you to start over and start living your life for Christ and live all in for him. I wish I had drawn it out. I had thought about it. But we all live in a comfort zone. We all have, just pretend there's a box down here. Use your imagination a little bit. But we all have a comfort zone. I need you to step out of your comfort zone. And I need you to understand that God loves you beyond measure. And I need you to understand you're not too far gone. And I need you to understand that he wants you to run to him. It's not too late to start over. It's not too late to face your failures. It's not too late to go all in and change your ways for him. Step out of your comfort zone and be all in 2021 for him, because he wants to use you. If everybody will stand with me for prayer with your eyes closed. I'm going to go back to what I said earlier. If you really knew me, you would know dot, dot, dot. If you really knew me, you'd know I have an addiction problem. If you really knew me, you know I have an alcohol drinking problem. If you knew me, you'd know I was sexually abused. If you really knew me, you would know that I'm at the end of my rope and I don't know what else to do. God knows everything. God knows every single thing about you, the good, the bad, the ugly. And he wants you to come running to him and come home. He wants you to start over. He wants you to understand that he loves you beyond the shadow of a doubt. He wants you to know that through him, anything and everything is possible. He wants you to know that no matter where you've been and what you've done, lay it at the foot of the cross and let him take it away. Dear gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord. Thank you for loving us regardless. Thank you for your mercy and your grace. Thank you, Lord, for being in our valleys with us. Thank you for giving us a chance to start over. Thank you for sending your son Jesus for us. You didn't have to do that. You could have left us, but you didn't. You loved us so much that you sent your one and only son to give us a chance to start over, to change our ways and to be all in. Thank you, Jesus, for that. Thank you, Lord, for your never-failing love. In Jesus' name, amen. Join us for worship.